Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the podcast where nothing is boring, everything is just interesting. And with me, Robin, today are Martin and Alex. How are you, Martin?
Oh, I'm good. I mean, I've eaten 12 deep-filled mince pies this week.
Oh.
Brandy-infused. And nice. Apart from feeling fairly sick with myself and physically, I'm good. Yeah, good. How about you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have not had a single mince pie this season. And
you're not fussed, are you?
Can't wait. I'm not the biggest fan, but I do get that cravings. So they speak to me, you know. The advertising works. Yeah.
It's true. I'll tell you what, Robin. Before, I'll let you into a little secret. Before you came on for the call, before we started recording,
I
popped up on screen and both me and Alex were both holding mince pies in our hands, eating them at the same time.
That's true.
We didn't coordinate it.
We didn't at all. It was a bonding moment that you missed.
It was good. We cheers.
I would have felt very left out. So I'm glad I missed it. So Alex, how are you?
I'm good. I've eaten 13 mince pies this week. So I guess I'm the king and I feel great. I did have this one that Martin was talking about before the podcast.
I've messed my...
Anyone listening to us, Alex and Martin are holding up the empty foil from their mince pies.
Might crinkle it into the microphone. Just if you don't hear it, it's not real.
In case you're wondering what it looks like that. that was actually the first mince pie I've had in the Christmas season. I actually broke open the fancy mince pies that I've been saving for Christmas Day, so now I've got to get some more.
Since 2017.
Well, I did that. I think last year I overstocked on mince pies and then forgot where I put them and found a packet of mince pies in February. I was like, oh, these are only just out of date.
Yeah. I'll eat those. They'll be all right then.
Yeah, they'll be all right. Yeah.
Why not?
We could do them. So for those listening and especially for those watching on YouTube, we may look a little bit tired because it's currently 5 a.m. in the morning. We've been going all night. We've been recording our Patreon exclusives because this week's podcast is not brought to you by NordVPN. It is brought to you by our wonderful Patreon supporters, who I will thank by name in a moment. But what are we going to be talking about this episode? We will be discussing predictions for 2021, not our personal predictions, but those made officially by an actual psychic and by Nostradamus, who most people have heard of. I was going to say, most people consider to be an authority on future predictions, right? That's
questionable.
Yeah.
I think we should give our own personal opinions, our own predictions as well, just in case we're right. Then we can, you know, make a successful career as you know.
Yeah, we'll make the headlines at the Daily Express next Christmas. Yeah,
exactly. Bama Martin Vanger.
We can make it into the Daily Mirror. We'll be set for life.
There we go. All right then, well there you go, you heard it here first. We will be making our predictions for 2021, but before that we'll be discussing our favorite comments of the week sent to us by you, our lovely listeners. And before that we'll be discussing things that we learned, and at the end of it we'll be topping the whole thing off and topping ourselves with a quiz.
Careful.
So stay tuned for that. My first prediction of 2021 is we will not be making it there.
The world's first snuff podcast.
Who edited this? That's the question I'm wondering.
That's good.
It's like the ring. It's the ring. Okay.
Very good.
Well then, what did you learn this week, Alex?
So I learned something quite remarkable that literally I learned this evening, just before the podcast, because it's breaking news. And I mean, without this, I wouldn't have learned anything this week. But did you like that, Robin?
I did. I was halfway through a sip of coffee there.
this is pretty amazing news. The Zodiac ciphers from the Zodiac Killer that famously have gone unsolved for nearly half a century, over half a century now, actually. Mm. 51 years have finally been cracked by a team of coding experts from three different countries have cracked the code to a cipher that the Zodiac sent I think they sent he sent it into a newspaper or sent it to the police.
So like the famous message, that grid of symbols that he sent.
Exactly, yeah.
What's it say?
Well, here we go. So this is what this famous we actually, in the conspiracy files we did, we called this an unbreakable code, but it's now broken.
Really and stupid.
That video dated.
And it says, "I hope you're having lots of fun trying to catch me. I am not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise all the sooner because I now have enough slaves to work for me."
Oh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's appropriately sinister.
And it said some more as well. It went on. Hang on, I need to find the actual whole thing. How cool is that? Like 50 years later.
Yeah.
Do you think this gives any more indication about who the Zodiac Killer might be? Do you think there's anything to go on? Or are we kind of clutching here?
Mm.
I don't think he can really garner any more information. He didn't confess in this, sadly, which was like one of the theories that that they actually did confess in one of these ciphers. And if you cracked it, it would, reveal who was the Zodiac Killer. But sadly, that doesn't look like it was the case. But what I find interesting is that there was a lot of speculation at the time that a lot of these weren't coming from the official Zodiac Killer and all these messages were coming from copycats. Mm. And I think there was definitely a few that were sent to newspapers that were deemed later on as like not fraudulent and had been sent in by copycats. But this one does very much appear to be the real deal in terms of like the stuff that he would say in some of the confirmed notes that he sent to police and reporters. Like he makes the exact same spelling errors in this. He misspells paradise, which is like a good indication because he's misspelled things before in previous letters.
How does he spell it? With a C?
Yeah.
Paradise.
Yeah. Like dice as in rolling dice.
Yeah. Dice against dice. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bad one. That's a clanger.
Exactly. Not the worst thing you did, Martin. Not the
terrible speller. Not a nice person, but a terrible speller.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I just think that's so cool.
That is cool. Are there any more remaining that they'll need to crack? And is it possible that one of those might hold a clue as to who the killer was?
I'm not sure. I feel like this was the big one. But also, if there are any others, I wonder if this cracking this cipher will help them work out the pattern and maybe they'll be able to crack any of the other ones as well. So I can tell you who did it. There's a code breaker called David Oranchak, who was the one who revealed the ominous message sent by the murderer.
Wait, what was his name? Oranchak.
Oranchak, like Oran, O-R-A-N-C-H-A-K.
Oranchak. C-H-A-K. Yeah. So he's a hack in his name and he deciphered the code.
Maybe that's why he became a hacker.
Maybe.
Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was really cool.
That is great news.
It's really good. Yeah.
What did you learn this week, Martin?
Well, I learned about how profitable Mount Everest is to Nepal. So Mount Everest actually makes up, the revenue from Mount Everest makes up 10% of the entirety of Nepal's GDP.
10%,
which is
amazing.
Absolutely incredible. So it brings in 10% of its $24 billion of its GDP for the whole of the country. Now Nepal is one of the poorest countries in the world, so of course you'd expect that such a massive, I guess, tourist attraction, if you want to call it that, brings in so much revenue you'd expect it to. But 10%, I thought 10% was just remarkable. And it seems to only be growing. Like the number of climbers, there's been a lot of stories over the last few years, especially when it comes to people dying on Everest, that the mountain itself is too crowded.
Mm.
And if you look at the numbers, this does just back it up. Like in the 1950s, 6 people climbed Everest. By the 1980s, this was up to 180 people in the year climbing Everest. Can you guess how many people climb Everest in the 2010s on average per year?
It's going to be huge.
In the decade.
Average in the decade or average per year?
Average, sorry, in the decade. We can go by either.
In the decade. I'm going to say 5,000.
Well done, 5,561.
Oh, wow.
So okay. Yeah, so these traffic jams on Everest cause massive fatalities, but it is incredibly profitable for the country. Yeah. But then this brought me on to a little fact that I heard a little while ago about the Fijian rugby team. And, you know, I'm a big rugby fan, in particular, yes, rugby union. And rugby players make up 20% of Fiji's GDP, sending their wages home. Because Fijians, they're one of the, I think it's the top, I think they might even be the top country for exporting players in the world to other nations. You know, they're playing all the top leagues around the world because they're, right, you know, massively into rugby, and of course they're physically built, yeah, for it too.
The way that you say they're exporting players, I don't know why, but I just think they're like packaging them up like Buzz Lightyear, putting them in a box and sending them off around.
They're actually genetically engineered and made in factories, yeah.
Yeah, and so the Fijian rugby team is, well, Fijian rugby players in general are just so 20%. Valuable. 20% of the GDP. Yeah. I think which accounts to over £300 million per year, which is pretty mad.
That's incredible. They must be very, very well paid.
Yeah, well, if they're playing in the top leagues, a lot of the Fijian players are. Yeah. And of course, in Fiji, and it's another poor country, and their minimum wage is much, much lower than other countries around them, like such as Australia and of course, other Pacific islands.
Yeah.
And so in terms of the real value of that money to Fijians, it's huge. And so no wonder you get a lot of these Fijian players moving abroad to these other leagues and in the end being snapped up by their national teams. That's anyway, another case of a particular sport or activity making up an overwhelming amount of the GDP.
Did you say it was 10% of 24 billion? So it's like 2.4 billion.
Yeah.
I'm astonished that it generates that much money.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Imagine like you're climbing Everest. You decide to do that. You train for years. This is like going to be the hardest challenge of your entire life.
You
slog your way up Mount Everest. You have emotional moments on the ascent. You question whether it's worth it. You consider turning back, and then you finally get to the summit. And there's a crowd of people up there that have already done it.
Yeah.
How crushed must you feel?
Yeah, because I admit the only time when I've romanticized about the idea of climbing Everest, I've always imagined myself as a solo explorer, you know, just trudging my way. But no, traffic jams, you say.
Yeah, that's just... you can see all the videos if you've seen any documentaries about people climbing Everest. Firstly, it's mental. It's so much more taxing than you'd imagine. And I think the other thing that's happening now is that because of I imagine it's because of climate change, the windows for having the right weather to ascend are much narrower, like the seasons narrowing. And so there's more people trying to ascend in less time. Overall is like kind of the general gist.
Well then, I think when we go and climb Mount Everest and make a documentary about it, we're going to have to go in the off season. It's the only way.
Insanely dangerous.
Did you do any training before you climb this mountain? No.
I don't need oxygen. What are you talking about? I have lungs.
Maybe that can be a stretch goal on Patreon. It'd have to be a bloody good stretch goal.
Pay for our funerals, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of mountains, my fact is actually about the mountain bluebird. But not just the mountain bluebird, but all bluebirds from all around the world, whatever variety of bluebird. And the fact that I learned this week is that bluebirds aren't blue.
What? You're saying I've been lied to by the RSPB?
RSPB, yeah.
I've been lied to by the RSPB for years.
Exactly. So it's a trick. It's a bit of a trick fact. They do appear blue. They're called bluebirds because they look blue. Their plumage looks blue. But unlike every other bird on the planet, whose feathers are coloured by pigments, in the same way that human skin is pigmented and skin colour is determined by pigments in the cells, bluebirds' feathers only appear blue because of the structure of the feathers and the way that they refract light. So it's got nothing to do with pigments in the feathers. It's got nothing to do with their diets, like the way that, you know, flamingos are pink because of what they eat. It's got nothing to do with that. It's entirely because their feathers just happen to be structured in such a way that light is refracted and it's blue. And I'm sure there'll be some pedants listening who say, Robin, that's how light works. It's reflected and refracted, and that's how colours work. I'm saying that no.
I hope we haven't been.
Scientists say.
I don't have listeners there.
Yeah, I've just offended everybody. No, scientists are saying that bluebirds are technically not blue because they don't have pigments of that are blue. Because apparently blue is not a naturally occurring pigment in you know, in berries and insects and things that they would eat. So yeah,
I see. So don't blueberries for those birds. Yeah.
Don't call Robin out on this in the comments because he will go ape shit.
And he'll phone you. He'll phone up your voicemail. We'll find it, phone up, and he'll put on that voice over and over again, mimicking you. Really.
No, please do. Sharing knowledge is very important. It's the essence of this podcast. So please do share facts and correct me if I'm wrong. But that's what I learned this week. And so there you go. And speaking of Patreon, I just thought I'd like to thank our star supporters who are just keeping us going in the most generous way, such as Hayden Smith, Sir Christopher McCrate.
Sir Christopher.
Yeah, all honour and glory be to you. Simon Workman, Josh Tromatek, Peaswad, Emmett Tapia, Liam Mullen, Herb Brown, Matthew Ritter, David Guevara, and a new Patreon as of this month, Marcelo Nicodemus. So thank you so much, everyone.
And thank you everyone who supports our Patreon as well. Your names will have been on screen by now. And also we have two. We've started, because we hit our goal, one of our stretch goals, we are creating two Patreon episodes per week. So now is the best time in the history of the Just Interesting, well, podcast, Just Interesting in general, to sign up to our Patreon.
Speaking of our lovely listeners, comments of the week?
So I've got a comment from Melissa Big Mac, which is in relation to space travel last week. And we were asking, what percentage of risk would you take to go to space? Percentage of risk of dying would you take to go to space? And Melissa says, I would take a 0.5% chance of death, or even your 10% chance, just to go to space and see the Earth. I don't even have to land on anything. So
you'd happily take the 10%, aren't you?
Happily. Said, I'd take 0.5%, or even your 10%. So that's 20 times as risky. But but just to go up in the shuttle. I mean, the allure of space travel is there, clearly.
Things, how would you feel, though, if you went on that space shuttle with Martin's 10% and there were 9 other people on board?
Well, they were like,
one of you's not making it off.
Yeah.
Well, the other people like, we took a 0.5% chance. You're like, how does that even work?
Yeah. And thank you, Melissa, because clearly you watched to the end of the podcast. So thank
that
you
was
very
the very
much.
End,
that
was, yes.
That's
yeah.
when we spoke about that. So, yeah.
On a similar note, this wasn't the comic I picked, but I think Matty C commented saying, should we crowdfund a trip to the moon for Alex? Because he was particularly reluctant to go. But,
Well, I feel like I'm either taking crazy pills here by being like, it's a rock. I wouldn't risk 10% chance to.
Would you climb Everest, Alex?
I wouldn't particularly like to, no.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you're consistent.
I mean,
I don't want to do anything.
I can see it on Google Earth. It's fine.
I can see the moon from the ground.
Yeah. They've got rovers to do that stuff for us now. That's fine. No, maybe I feel like I'm being such a... Yeah, I'd definitely do it. I'd do it for a 50% chance because I'm a thrill seeker.
Kill me now. I'm seeing the moon. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got a comment on a different note from Elaine Christina, who's one of our YouTube members. So thank you, Elaine.
Thank you for joining us
on YouTube. I can tell by your badge, which tells us that you've been a devout member for 4 months. So thank you.
Whoa, Elaine.
And she says, have you guys watched... So this is in relation to the topic of discussion that we were talking about last week about hacking and whether the vaccine for this COVID pandemic we're in case you hadn't noticed, has been hacked. And She says, have you guys watched Utopia, the AMZ series? The plot of that show came to mind as soon as I heard hacking and vaccine in the same sentence, except that these real-life hackers' intentions may not seem so noble in the long run. Yes, I was hoping the villain would prevail there. So what I just wanted to raise was, if you haven't seen it yet already, I would really recommend the original Channel 4 Utopia series.
Utopia, it was all branded in yellow, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I've never seen it.
It was
two seasons, it's like, Alex, and then canceled.
Oh, it was such a good show, and it got cancelled, and then remade later on for American audiences. But if you can find that, I think it might be on Netflix. You may have to use NordVPN to get onto the UK Netflix.
No, Alex, not paying us this time.
60% off.
It's such a good show. Although, yeah, it was cancelled beforehand, but would recommend that.
There we go. Recommendations.
Yeah. My comment is from Ryan Peck, who had a great comment that didn't quite make sense to me at first, but having reread it, I think it does make a lot of sense. And he says, can't anyone snip these ridiculous appendages through intuitive operations nowadays?
And oh no,
the initials of each of those words is capitalized, and I think it's castration.
You know what, I understood what was being said without even knowing that it was spelling something out there.
Yeah,
so you did well to make it make sense.
Exactly, that double whammy. It worked both ways.
Of all the ones comments to be annoyed at, that was actually, I like that one. That was very good. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. You've begrudgingly got Alex and Martin to approve of a mention of castration in this podcast.
I'm not approving. I'm appreciating.
I'm going to take that as an approval. It's
you can take it as what you want.
Black and white with me, yes or no. That was a two thumbs up from Martin for castration. So let's move on to the main topic of the podcast, which is going to be 2021 predictions.
I mean, it's got to be better. Got to be better, right?
That's just a prediction.
We'd hope so.
Podcast over.
Better year.
Let's move on. Yeah. Nothing can get worse.
That's not my official prediction, but 2022 is a whole different ballgame.
Okay. Well, let's not talk about 2022. We're here to talk about 2021, and in particular, some specific predictions that have been made by, well, we're looking at Nostradamus, always a good source to go back to. But also, Alex, you found some interesting predictions by somebody new, haven't you?
Yeah, so this is from a modern day psychic who lives in London called Nicholas Ajula, who claims to have predicted the COVID-19 pandemic before. And he also claims to have predicted Donald Trump's loss in the recent election. So he's got a strong background in predicting stuff, but he's made some bold predictions for 2021.
Oh yeah,
some of them are great. Yeah, Nicholas is a past life regression therapist, a hypnotherapist, and psychic astrologer from London. And he was also in a previous life an Egyptian queen and a lion. So good for him.
At the same time,
no one ever says they're a cockroach, do they?
No.
Yeah.
It's always a queen or a king.
I was just thinking the same thing. Maybe it's because the people who know that they were worthless don't want to talk about it.
I mean, if you're going by the older reincarnation angle, you have to be at a certain stage to come back as something else, don't you? You couldn't necessarily jump from being a really bloody good cockroach to being a human, could you?
Yeah, I think you got to work your way up.
A few levels in between.
You got to do something good as a cockroach, then you can become like a dog or something. Actually, no, even that's a bit of a leap. You can become like a ferret or something.
Bit of an assumption here. I feel like you seem to be...
We know the religions.
Okay. No, I'm just saying, I don't know how the religion works. I don't know, it just sounds like you're assuming humans at the top of the tree. Being a good cockroach might be immeasurably more valuable.
I mean, don't you go from human to then reaching nirvana and being enlightened? Isn't human like one of the last stages?
Probably. You know more than I do.
I am going from what I can remember from about the age of around 11 or 12.
I mean, humans came up with the belief system itself, so I imagine that they would naturally assume to be the top of the tree.
You mean they discovered the system? and expressed it right, Alex. You don't mean they well, came I mean, up
it,
with it.
I'm not saying it's wrong. It could still be right, but humans did come up with that.
No, Alex, no. No, you're not allowed to say that. That's dismissing a religion.
How is it? Who else came up with it?
It's like mathematics. You discover mathematics. You don't come up with it. You
know? Oh, okay. Discovered it. Yeah. I'm not saying they made it up on the spot or anything.
Okay. That's what it sounded like you're saying. I'm just going to call you out on that one.
Okay.
To all our reincarnationists, if that's a word, in the
reincarnation. anyway, nice. Let's move on to the prediction, shall we?
So what's this gentleman saying?
So Nicholas says that one thing people have asked me about a lot this year is the coronavirus. I have visions of it plateauing after the new year and infection rates being right down to the point where they are under control by spring. And this is what I like. This is what I like about this guy.
It's not predictions. It's been a vaccine. It's just been approved.
That's what the scientists have been predicting. Not predicting, estimating. Yeah.
I mean, in fairness.
And it's not winter anymore.
But you know what? It's a bit more specific than the likes of Nostradamus. So, and he does. He goes on.
Okay.
But I predict that the panic and restrictions around the virus will go on till 2022.
Okay.
And he says, this is just a bit of colour for him as a person as well. I've had thousands of past lives. I've been an Egyptian queen, a maid, a teacher in the French Revolution, a deer, a lion, and even lived in another galaxy.
Far, far away.
What was it? What was it like? Tell us.
I don't know that amount of detail, but I'd be interested to find out.
I would like to know. Okay. Is he claiming to make these predictions based on psychic information or psychic visions? Or is it?
I think he has some visions, visions and like dreams and,
Because both of those sound like fairly common sense things to predict under normal circumstances.
He says that some of these visions come to him in dreams, and others that strike when he is out and about. So he just has a gift. So
it seems like he's throwing quite a lot at the wall here, isn't he?
Well, it gets more as well. Yeah.
Okay.
He says that. The image of protest that I saw is one that has now become very important, as all over the world this year, people have been taking to the streets, standing up and raising their voices. And this is something that he predicts will be carrying on well into 2021. He claims protests around the world will continue for the next 2 to 3 years. And he says he has visions of civil unrest. He also predicts mass movement of people with thousands moving from one country to the other to seek a better life.
Thousands. They're moving in their thousands.
I mean, it sounds like the current situation doesn't. Nothing's groundbreaking. For now, yeah.
Well, what do you think about the life?
But now we're getting into the real specific ones where it's like, okay, that's not just generally something that's very likely.
Okay.
So he says that Chancellor Rishi Sunak in the UK, he predicts that he'll resign in 2021. That is quite specific. He predicts a fire raging through New York.
Ooh.
But the thing is, if there's like one fire in the city, I wonder if he'll take credit for that. And he predicts potential heartbreak for 3 A-list celebrities. So he predicts that. Yeah, you list them. He's specific like this. This is what I like about this
that's
guy.
That's good.
I keep getting the words Tom Cruise and heart coming to me. Maybe that's literal and he'll be poorly with a heart problem, or maybe it's metaphorical and he'll go through a breakup. So Tom Cruise is one of them. He also predicts romantic heartache for Natalie Portman and Kim Kardashian.
Oh, no.
So,
they're both married with kids, aren't they? So that would be sad for them.
It would be. True. It would be very sad, yeah. After some of the stuff Kanye's been doing this year, who knows? Maybe it's getting too much.
After failing to become president, Kim's just not impressed anymore, and she's out.
But my absolute favorite prediction that he's made, though, this is my favorite one that I love.
Okay.
He predicts that Peter Andre is going to relaunch his music career. I love that. I think it's pretty
okay. He just re-released Mysterious Girl again, won't he?
He also says there'll be a new Harry Potter book and a digestive biscuit going viral for reasons that are, as of yet, unclear.
So what?
There'll be a digestive biscuit that goes viral in 2021 for reasons that are unclear currently.
So he goes from kind of generic migration of people to a biscuit making front page news.
Yeah. It's very specific though. You got to say that.
A digestive biscuit.
And it's a digestive biscuit.
I actually want to know what the probability of that is. Being skeptical for a moment. Sorry. I wonder if you could calculate the probability of a viral meme, I guess, being about a digestive biscuit.
Hmm.
What are the kind of possible combinations of things that would be a viral meme, and what's the probability in, given how many minutes there are in a year, that any one of them could be a digestive biscuit?
I guess if you searched every day for a news story about a biscuit over the last 5 years, I imagine that each year there'd be at least one.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I'm just wondering if it's a stab in the dark that could pay off and it's still just be mere probability, or whether it actually... So, sorry, what I'm saying is, if it happens and there's a viral post about a biscuit, goodness knows why I'm latching onto this prediction of all the predictions he's made. But if this is the one that happens, I'm curious as to what's the probability of him being right. Because like, there's a difference between predicting an election result, which is 50-50, and predicting a biscuit going viral.
I imagine the probability is quite high, because there's loads of like cooking channels, isn't it? So it just needs one of them to do something biscuit related. Although it was specifically digestive biscuits. So who knows?
This is the kind of thing that on the surface seems very, very specific, but actually in reality is quite generic.
Yeah. There is one prediction that is probably like the big prediction.
Okay.
And this is the one that I guess we should talk about, whether it's likely or not to happen.
Okay.
So he says, I've had a couple of quite horrid visions. One of a male world leader being assassinated. I couldn't see who it was, but sensed it sent shockwaves through the world. Obviously, I hope that doesn't come to fruition. So my mind, I don't know about yours, but my mind went to Joe Biden.
Straight away.
With this kind of, you know, that everything in America at the moment seems heavily divided. The president's not conceding.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are very, very upset with the results of the election. More upset than has been in past elections, maybe. Maybe not the 2016 one.
But also the people who are upset are more likely this time to be ones to take up arms, right?
To be armed, I'm not saying that as a generic statement, but it seems like that's the case, right?
They're on the side of the political spectrum that matches most assassins and mass shooters in America.
So do you think that that's a possibility in 2021? Will Joe Biden possibly be assassinated?
I mean, it is possible. Mm. I mean, the fact is, for the last 4 years, I've been wondering how Donald Trump is still alive, to be fair.
Not from assassins, just from his diet.
well, that, potentially. Yeah. I've just been thinking, like, some of the stuff this guy said is crazy. Like, if I'm over in the UK and I'm getting frustrated and angry about this, of course, I wouldn't ever plan or dream of assassinating anyone. But if I'm getting even vaguely annoyed and being like, that idiot over here, there's going to be some nutjob over there who has access to a gun, who has the means to get close, and at least, you know, try something. So I'm surprised there hasn't been more attempts. Maybe they've been forward very successfully. But then you look at the political spectrum and the history of assassinations as well. I mean, we spoke on our Patreon episode, didn't we? The Q&A a little bit about JFK and Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
And you know, JFK being a Democrat as well.
And a Catholic.
True. I mean, I guess it's not always the case. Reagan, you know, you look at Reagan, his attempted assassination, and that's more of a modern Republican.
Was 40 years ago. Maybe it's just a testament to the security around the president. Maybe it really is just that good now.
I imagine there have been scares on occasion. If you did an insider with some of the close security stuff, I imagine that there has been bits where they were at least concerned or worried.
It might not be Biden though. Could it be?
It could be. Yeah.
The prediction was a male world leader that sent shockwaves around. I'm going to put it out there and say that if our current prime minister were assassinated, it wouldn't really shock the world. But if, say, Putin was assassinated...
Or Xi Jinping, imagine
Xi Jinping, yeah. That, well, the shockwaves from either of them being assassinated would be, I think, tantamount to the president of the United States being assassinated. You know, because they are major world powers with major influence. I think particularly... both of them have dictatorial strangleholds on their countries, but I feel like Putin would be the bigger shock, given that Putin is the assassinator in chief.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes, yes.
Allegedly. Alleged Bond villain, Vladimir Putin.
Not I'm saying Xi Jinping hasn't had people killed, but I'm just saying that.
No, absolutely. Yeah, that would be equally as shocking, I think, in the world. In a way, in America, like, because there's that historic precedent, like, people already know that being a president is a very dangerous job over there.
Mm.
So in a way, it would almost be less shocking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that, like, the political history of Russia and China has been more stable or anything, but because the attempts have been made in recent history... I guess maybe people's minds are already open to the idea that, like, a president could be assassinated.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, carry on, Robin. My thing is fairly tangential.
I was going to say, on that note, there's also the possibility Joe Biden, given his age, I do wonder, I have fears that he might not make it through his first term, which makes me wonder if he did die, would people suspect he was assassinated? And if they did suspect he was assassinated, would you then count this prediction as being a true prediction?
That's true.
Good point. Yeah. It's a good point. It's an interesting thought. Yeah.
Very especially true. If it's in 2021, so soon into his presidency.
Mm.
Yeah.
True.
But, sorry, Martin. Go for it.
No, my point was just about this mystic, this psychic, not being able to tell us whose face it was. Of the victim of the assassination, but being very, very specific about the digestive.
He knew it was a digestive.
He knew the brand of biscuit. He could see the packaging, but couldn't see the face of someone being assassinated. It just makes me a little bit skeptical, that's all.
Well, he's just got some great content ideas in 2021 that involves digestive biscuits. He's so confident one of them's going to go viral.
I'm going to say, he didn't say McVitie's, he just said digestive.
He didn't, you know? It's true.
And
it's
that's the same as saying a male world leader in my book. Digestive biscuit, male world leader.
It's not.
So I guess his final, like, big predictions are that he says, I've also had a vision of a world summit being plagued by a sex scandal and a rise in far-right politics, particularly in southern Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, and a volcanic eruption leading to major weather changes. And that's quite an interesting one. I was thinking, like, I wonder when the next, like, massive volcano eruption's going to be. Like Krakatoa or Yellowstone.
Yellowstone's been due for a long time, and Krakatoa was the last one that literally, was it a year of darkness or something? It caused basically a nuclear winter, didn't it? It was that powerful. That could happen. I don't know which volcano would be the prime contender, though. Because that would be a big one, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what would be.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do worry, don't they, about Yellowstone specifically. I don't know exactly about the logistics of if that was to blow. Interesting.
It's really bad.
It's something that's brought up again and again, isn't it?
Mm.
Natural disasters. You see on people's predictions for the year. Nostradamus often talks about natural disasters occurring. So I would definitely take that one with a pinch of salt. Again, it's one of those that it's an easy one to reel off again, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it's just, man, the amount of predictions he's making, he's really scattergunning at the wall and hoping shit sticks, isn't it?
I'm curious about this rise of the far right. Does he think the far right hasn't risen? Especially in the Middle East, you know, what does he think Al Qaeda and ISIS were? Far left.
Yeah, it's interesting. The countries he chose were interesting too, weren't they? Yeah.
It feels like some of these are like...
And Africa as well. I mean, if you think about Islamic terrorism is growing fast in Africa, isn't it? You hear about it a lot more than we did a few years ago on the news.
Yeah, Nigeria was...
Especially. That's what I was trying to think of. Who was it? It was Hezbollah.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, in fairness to Nicholas, he does say, despite these predictions, he insists he's not special, but instead believes that all of us possess the same abilities, but skepticism prevents us from trusting those abilities. And he says that all I do is tune into something we all have. We live in a logical world and so don't always see these messages, but I think we all have that sixth sense in us. So maybe he's saying, like, some of these you can just kind of sense is what's going to happen in the next year. Like, you don't have to be a prophet to tell what's going to happen with some of these. But we just need to,
I
mean, just need to trust ourselves a little bit more.
Yeah. Some of them he's described are just describing ongoing trends. So he's not wrong there. I mean, we didn't actually dwell on it, but like the civil unrest thing, actually, I thought that was quite interesting. It's not an out of the blue prediction to make, given what's happened in 2020. But given that it's mostly concentrated during the lockdown, the extremes of the pandemic, and under political leaders who are deeply, deeply divisive and unpopular. I find it interesting that he thinks civil unrest will continue throughout 2021 and into 2022. You would hope that, given the changes made in America in particular, but also what's going to change in Britain and in Europe in general, that people would calm down a bit, but maybe not.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the rationale? I'm thinking, but there is no rationale. It's that he's been spoken to by the ether.
I think of all the suggestions he's made, I think the least likely one to come to fruition is that Peter Andre is going to relaunch his music career. I don't know.
Mysterious girl.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be
this is insane. Yeah.
From Peter Andre. Maybe they're all connected. Peter Andre will have a viral tweet about a digestive biscuit. And off the back of that, he'll relaunch his music career. There'll be riots in the street because Peter Andre is back, which will lead to an assassination of a political leader, which will lead to the rise of the far right and a war.
The biscuit's definitely going to be involved in the assassination. Be laced with something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What is Biden's favorite biscuit? Let us know in the comments.
Well, that's the way to find out.
Yeah. Or tweet us at JInterestingYT.
He's a rich tea man. What do you mean a hobnob?
A hobnob? I know what.
Is that your Biden voice?
That's my Biden voice. No, no.
A hobnob.
A hobnob. Well, let's dive into Nostradamus and see if any of his predictions tally with, what's his name? Norman Reedus.
Nicholas.
No. Nicholas.
Norman Reedus.
Nicholas.
Azula.
Azula. Thank you. Yes. Well, we all know who Nostradamus is, but just to put in context, he was a 16th century French, a polymath, almost. And he wrote a book in poetic verse in French, which some people have claimed is just rubbish, is gibberish, means nothing. Many other people have, particularly in the English-speaking world, because they've had to translate it, have interpreted to forecast all kinds of historical events. And usually when something major happens in history, you'll find out that somebody somewhere has attributed a poetic verse by Nostradamus as having predicted it. But the point is that Nostradamus wrote in abstract phrasing, so there's definitely a little bit of interpretation involved, which is one of the reasons he's so popular.
Or if you're a writer for the Daily Express, quite a lot of interpretation.
Quite a lot, yes. Well, there have been translations and interpretations of his verse again to apply to 2021 about what he predicts will happen, and they include: there will be stress upon the earth that its surface will crumble in places like hard clay. Which has been interpreted to mean an earthquake. A major earthquake will happen. Again, natural disaster, a bit like the volcano. Oh, I suppose actually, crumbling earth could be a volcano.
Oh my God, they're lining up.
They're lining up, yeah. But interestingly, there's a phrase from the next prophecy, which is about a massive war between allies. Allies will turn on each other and have war, which is interesting.
What's happening right now?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
With Brexit. Mm-hmm.
With Brexit, yeah. Oh, with those allies. And, I was thinking,
and in the US, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, something else. But actually, you're right. Maybe that'll happen. Although, I would have thought that more likely when Trump was in charge, given the damage he's done to America's political standing. But maybe not. Maybe Biden would be the one to mess it up. But this prophecy, in translation, apparently, says that peace will be born out of the ashes of destruction, which I thought was interesting because it kind of ties in with the volcano thing as well. He also predicted that, I mean, this one, sorry, I'm being skeptical already. I'm presenting
Andre,
it.
Andre of the Peter shall relaunch Insania.
he did not predict that, weirdly. But he did apparently predict that diseases will make the world suffer from hunger. And I feel like he's a year out for that. There's already been a pandemic. Although
he
could
was
be
1 year out, though, from like 1 year you out. Know, the 16th century.
That's not bad, really, credit. Is it? Cut him some slack.
All right.
He's doing his best. It's not his fault.
He also predicted there would be a huge breakthrough in medicine. Didn't say what it would be, but that there would be a huge breakthrough.
We're talking about vaccines, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. And I was just thinking that because just last week, along with the vaccine announcement, there was an announcement that there was a major breakthrough in protein structures. They're able to replicate for the first time in synthetic drugs a specific protein structure, which has been considered essential to treating a lot of diseases. And it's been a goal of the pharmaceutical industry for decades. So that could potentially have massive implications for the application of drugs to treat major illnesses. I can't remember what the protein structure is called. I'm sure someone who's heard that news as well or who knows about it, who might work in the industry, will be able to tell us. But yeah, that's actually kind of funny coincidence. There's another major prediction, which I thought I'd say till last, which is along with the war and along with the diseases and along with the medical breakthroughs and the natural disasters, apparently there will be a rise in machines and mankind's world will be mechanized, which has been interpreted to mean that cyborgs will take over.
Or was he predicting the release of Cyberpunk 2077?
He was skeptical even then.
The PS5 and Xbox One. No, it's not the Xbox One, is it? It's the Xbox.
Series X,
thank you. So famines, earthquakes, pandemics, world wars, medical breakthroughs, and cyborgs. Yeah. Maybe the cyborgs are the medical breakthrough.
It's never good news, is it? With Nostradamus.
Really?
Some of those was.
Apart from, I guess, the medical breakthrough. Yeah, I guess so.
Alex,
and actually, I mean, you look at all of these things, and a medical breakthrough can be quite a generic thing, can't it? How many medical breakthroughs were there in his time? Were there constant? Because it seems now there's so many medical fields being researched and money pumped into it that a medical breakthroughs are a fairly common occurrence, and at least they're publicised. Were publicised medical breakthroughs a big thing in Nostradamus' time? That'd be interesting to know, firstly. Of course, there were medical breakthroughs, but how often and how well known were they? Yeah. Because now you could probably look at 500 different medical breakthroughs a year and say, oh, that's significant for one reason or another.
I wonder what like medicine at that time kind of looked like and what a breakthrough would look like. Would it be like, we've had a breakthrough. We've discovered that leeches don't work.
Might have to wait a little bit later for that too. Yeah.
Bloodletting is a bad thing.
which pope was it that realized? Was it Pope Gregory after the papal bull when he realized that bloodletting was not effective, but he still made other countries around Europe. He still advised other countries around Europe to use it because they weren't following the teachings of his law. I can't remember exactly, but anyway, I'll bring that as an interesting fact at some point.
So what do you think based on these predictions? I think the volcano thing's interesting. The ashes comment was seemed to hint a volcano. Between the two of them, they seem to be getting at a volcano angle. That's a bit worrying.
Yeah, it's it would be interesting if there was if the crossover was made those predictions more likely, or if it's just evidence that people think along the same lines when trying to make predictions for the future.
No mentions of digestives in Nostradamus's predictions.
No, unless again the digestive could be related to another story. I think maybe we're wrong to think of this in
you could
in
be
isolation.
Talking about the crust of the actually crust. Being the the top of the biscuit.
Medical breakthrough: digestive biscuits cure cancer.
I think we're really reaching now.
Someone needs to cut that. Someone needs to cut that as a soundbite.
Cut that. No,
no, no, it's a soundbite. Digestive biscuits cure cancer.
So based on both of these, hearing these predictions, what are your personal predictions for 2021? What would you say is the most, do you envision happening in the next year? Will things get better or worse overall?
I think from, it seems like medically things are looking up. I think there'll still be a massive lag in terms of the world's reaction to COVID. I think that we'll see huge amounts of discrepancies between those, the haves and have-nots. I know recently there's been talk about Western countries in particular hoarding vaccine supplies. I think it was Canada who had, five times the amount of vaccines as their population at the moment, which just seems kind of unnecessary when a lot of countries don't. the UK, I don't think, are much better. And so I think it's going to be a long, drawn-out process because of greed. Because of people wanting to get in there and hoard supplies. But I think we'll gradually, probably by late 2021 to early 2022, we'll probably be looking at the world getting a little bit more back to normal. But I think it's going to be a longer process than people think. We'll still see cases, we'll still see deaths in regards to coronavirus. Politically, I mean, I know from our point of view, we hope that there's a smooth transition. I think that the intensity of the protests will increase going into 2021 and coming to the end of Trump's term, and that there probably will be a little bit more disruption and violence with Trump in trying to kind of drum up. I was going to say drum up hatred, but it's more drum up a frenzy around this. I don't think he's going anywhere quietly. But eventually, I think he will just end up conceding, calling it unfair, and walking away. That's my prediction on that front. I guess those are two of the main ones. Difficult to tell in terms of natural disasters. What do you think?
That sounds pretty much chimes with what I was thinking too. I think people will feel better for most of 2021. I think the vaccine means that halfway through the year, the majority of people, particularly in our societies, will feel a lot better about life. Things will go more back to normal than they did, but overall bad trends that we've seen in the last few decades will continue to get, and they'll get worse as a result of the economic impact of the virus, as well as the economic impact of things like Brexit and the economic impact of things like Trump, and that will lead to, maybe not in 2021 but definitely by 2022, people expressing their dissatisfaction with the realization that things aren't going back to the way they were and things aren't as good as they hoped they would be. There will be civil unrest, but there's always civil unrest. The question is, how bad will it be, and what exactly will it be triggered by? And I mean that in Europe as well, not just in America and Britain. We know that things are getting worse for other reasons, for other crises in the Middle East and Africa that we don't think about and don't talk about in the West. Those will continue. They may get worse. They may hit the headlines, and then we'll feel like things are getting worse over here, but actually those things have been going on for years. And then the good things in life, like science, will continue to make important breakthroughs that garner the occasional headline and actually do great things for humanity. But nobody really thinks about how important those discoveries and breakthroughs are at the time. And hopefully it'll be something fun, like cyborgs. what about you, Alex?
Well, that was not as specific as I would have liked. I'm going to go I'm fully bought into the Peter Andre theory. I think he's going to make a big comeback. He's going to headline Glastonbury when Glastonbury comes back.
Do you think Glastonbury will come back next year? Is it scheduled? I don't even know.
I don't actually know.
Presumably,
the only person they can book is Peter Andre, though.
He's the only one who would be willing to sing wearing a mask.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes fantastically, and it really launches his entire music career. I think, the volcano thing's going to happen. Maybe Yellowstone's going to erupt. But it's fine, because aliens will come down and save us all. So there you go. Those are my predictions.
I wouldn't be surprised if we have quite a bit of hysteria. Well, not hysteria is probably the wrong word. Maybe legitimate hysteria about other potential pandemics spotting up in places. Well, I think on the news we'll hear a lot more about things like plague. So if there's any kind of resurgences of plague, which there are every year, I think that'll become a big thing, and everyone will be going, shit, plague. and maybe if there's cases of some swine flu or bird flu that do happen every year, but are kind of controlled quite well, there'll be a bit of a panic over those side of things, and we'll be thinking that we might be going into another pandemic situation, but we'll hopefully be a little bit better prepared now than we were then.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, even though Nicholas, the psychic, has claimed to have predicted COVID, he wasn't the only one. There were, countless scientists have been predicting pandemics for years because of the way that we've been treating animals across the world. And
specifically coronavirus as well.
Yeah, specifically coronavirus. In fact, wasn't it mentioned in a... Can I say this? Wasn't it mentioned in an All Time Tens video?
Yes.
Was that you in that video, Martin?
It wasn't me. I wasn't doing that one. But yeah, it was predicted that coronavirus in the next... When was that video done? 2018?
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it was predicted that coronavirus would be one of the next big problems for the world. But yes, I mean, that's based on the science, isn't it? Based on the fact that we're not treating animals well, and that the plans in place weren't up to scratch for preventing something like this from happening. And I guess so it proved.
Yeah. But, I mean, what do you guys think at home? What are your predictions for 2021? Do let us know. I'm excited to hear what you say.
Good and bad. We want to take the good with the bad, yeah. And speaking of good with the bad, fancy a quiz?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I don't know what that means, but absolutely.
Welcome to the quiz. And this week's contestants are Martin and Alex. It's the second quiz of season 3. So all to play for still. Alex, you haven't had a quiz yet this season?
I haven't had a quiz yet. I think me and Martin are both on 0, right?
Both on 0.
Yes, ooh, unfortunately so.
Ooh, definitely is all to play for. It is. You could make your way to the top of the charts.
Martin, so, haven't you got the reward for the season 2?
I do.
Prize? Oh, yeah, do you want to make a big reveal? This is what the prize for winning the season arc is of the Just Interesting podcast.
The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. It is an Orson Welles branded, high quality, in fact. I wasn't expecting it to be this good quality. I don't think any of us were.
No.
Action Orson, please. 102, take 2. The French champagne drinking vessel.
Is it insulated? Like a port?
It's quite good. It's metal.
Oh, man.
Perfect. It's insulated. There's a lid over there.
It's a work of beauty.
It is. It's wonderful.
It is the chalice of champions, and it is what I will be winning. It's what I'll be winning at the end of this season.
Now Alex has a motivation. He has a goal in mind. He's going to conquer the quiz. That's the
exactly.
plan.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Martin, enjoy
that
trophy whilst you've got it. Yeah.
The taste of victory.
All right then. Well, to win a quiz, you have to answer the questions. And to answer the questions, you must sound your buzzer. So what is your buzzer, Martin?
Well, something slightly different. It's getting on to Christmas, so I went for Jim Carrey's The Grinch saying,
The audacity.
He was good in that terrifying role. So, yeah.
That's so weird.
It was a weird film, wasn't it? Yeah. All the character designs just freak me out in that film.
Alex, what's your buzzer?
Well, I've come for a classic YouTube video, The Succulent Chinese Millman.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest. Have a look at the headlock here. See that chap over there? Get your hand off my penis!
Get your hand off my penis.
It's classic. Oh, I've got a cat coming over. Oh, there we go.
There we go. That was... He's an Australian, isn't he? So that was pre-quarantine, I guess.
So. It was a... Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I mean, that was years ago.
Long time ago. It looks like a 90s video, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so we've got another drunk man and Jim Carrey, I suppose, is on the quiz. So, question number one. Fingers on buzzers.
Sticky.
What colour is a great white shark?
This is the boy who got me on the penis, people.
Oh man, that was really hard.
So close.
I'm not sure who that was, to be honest. I'm gonna flip a coin and go with Alex.
Did you just flip a coin?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know because it feels like it's going to be a trick. Grey.
It is grey. Yes.
Oh yeah. Right.
Yes.
Oh well, because like. People, you might say white because
exactly white shark. It was great a tricky question. Shark, the great white shark, it has a white belly, but the vast majority of the great white shark is grey, and its white belly, although it is white, only actually looks white underwater under certain conditions.
So it should be called a grey white shark.
Yes, there you go. It's a new name.
That's solid. It should be. Yeah.
Okay, 1-0 to Alex. Going to question two, and I'm guessing was that your answer, Martin? Grey.
Grey, yeah, I would have gone for grey.
Sorry, I called an Alex, but...
It's okay, the coin toss was very legitimate.
It was close.
Martin can have the next coin toss.
It was done alphabetically, so Martin will get the next coin toss. Which French hero and Catholic saint was burned at the stake in 1431? That was Alex that time.
Damn.
Is that old Joan of Arc?
It is old Joan of Arc.
Joanie.
So, 2-0 to Alex, going to question three. Now, this is a true or false, so it's a 50-50 answer. A snail's top speed is half an inch per second. True or false? I think that was Martin.
I think so.
I'm going to say that's true.
It is true. The top speed of a snail is half an inch per second, which I love.
I mean, it's not because a snail moves so
half
slow.
Half an inch per second.
It does, he's doing all right.
Is that like a typical garden snail, I guess? Not one of those massive ones that are like the size of a cat?
No, yeah, I think that's a garden snail.
One of those cat snails.
those cat-eating snails. Yeah. No, so 2-1 going into question four. I love Batman. Everyone knows I love Batman. I made a video about Batman. So in the Batman comics and movies, what is the surname of his butler, Alfred?
Oh, no.
The surname.
I'm not sure I know. Alfred.
Master Wayne?
Yeah.
Master Wayne.
Master.
Size of a tangerine.
Look. Master Wayne.
If you can't lift a bloody log.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody Batmobile doors off.
I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
Alfred Hitchcock. I'm going to have to probably have a guess here.
Okay.
What's a kind of English sounding, sir? Alfred. Alfred.
Yeah.
Brown.
No, it's not Alfred Brown.
Alfred Brown. Alfred Brown.
Alfred Brown. That was so
boring. Oh, wait, I just went for your surname.
Yeah.
Penis! This is the bloke who got my penis.
Alfred Pennington something P. I don't know.
It is not that, but you're very close. That's the clue. Alex is very close.
Alfred Peters.
Nope.
Maybe I have heard this before then, because I kind of...
Why did you do this?
Yes, Alex.
So, Alfred Pennywise.
No, but I'll give you another clue. Alex is even closer. It's not Pennywise.
Why
Again, I think that was Alex.
Is it Pennyworth?
It is. It is Pennyworth. Well, yes. That was remarkable. I thought
got there in the end. Yeah. Just through deduction.
For Pennyworth. No, I didn't. I don't even recognise that. So,
no, well, he never says it, does he? Bruce Wayne never goes, Mr. Pennyworth.
I don't know where that kind of came from then, because I thought it was like Penny something, but
yeah, I've always known that too, but I don't know why. Yeah, I've no idea.
I didn't used to read the comics or watch the animated shows or anything. So
the power of pop culture, I guess. Yeah, you just know this stuff. Okay. Well, that makes it 4-1. 3-1. Sorry, 3-1 to Alex. Going into question 5. That sounds more like it. This is a closest wins.
Okay.
How many feet can a starfish have? Or can starfish have? Not arms, feet.
Feet. Oh. What's the arms and feet in a starfish?
Mm. It's the closest wins, so. Yeah. Why did you do this? Yes, Alan.
I'm going to go for 500.
Okay.
500? Sounds like arms, 500 arms and a starfish.
Wait, hang on.
I'm after legs. What? I'm after
feet.
You're
after feet.
I'm after feet, not arms.
Feet?
Yeah, not arms.
Oh, are those little bit on the bottom? 500 sounds like a lot. That sounds like a lot. I was going to go for much less, but
I have overshot it a little bit.
Now I'm thinking they must have tons of feet. See, I'm going to try and play this to be tactical here. I'm going to go for 200.
Oh, Martin, you went the wrong way. All right. Alex gets the point. The average starfish has several thousand feet.
What?
And they can have up to 15,000 feet.
Oh, wow.
So starfish move because they've got thousands of very tiny little podia, little tubular feet.
I didn't know that. That's fascinating.
And they just move. So those arms are arms, you know, the things that make them look like a star. They don't move them. It's the feet underneath that make them move around.
Wow, thousands.
So, yeah. There you go, up to 15,000. I think they can have up to 40 arms. When you see pictures of them, they look quite funny.
Quentin Tarantino loves starfish.
No wonder, because he's a weirdo. that's not fair. Everyone has their fetish.
I think it's fairly fair.
Okay, he's a weirdo. Okay, so that's
pretty funny, but
4-1 to 4-1 to Alex. Going into question 6, Martin can still get this. There's still plenty of time for him to get this back. Yeah.
No, you can't. No, you can't give up now.
You're only 3 points. Okay. What's the name? Put your movie hats on, and it's a Christmas movie, so it's relevant. What's the name of the skyscraper in Die Hard?
Is the judge eating a meal?
I've only seen it once.
Chinese meal.
What? Alex, that was you.
I believe that's Nakatomi Plaza.
It is Nakatomi.
Nakatomi Tower. Yeah.
Well done. So that's 5.
Actually, no, I've seen it. I've seen it twice. Tell a lie.
Okay. You don't get a point, I'm afraid. But
no, I didn't.
Congratulations. Question number 7. 5-1 to Alex.
Oof.
What is the national flower of Japan?
Daphne.
Yes. Martin.
Oh God! It could be two. I think the flower. Oh goodness! Now I'm second guessing myself. There's two I have in mind.
Okay, take your time.
Do I go for that or that?
Take your time.
If I go for one, it's going to be other. I'm going to go for it. Cherry blossom.
It is cherry blossom.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the other one you're thinking of?
I was thinking the lotus flower for some reason.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. I feel like it's more associated with China, isn't it? I feel.
I think that's probably right. I think you're probably right there. Yeah. I think I'm confused. Yeah. But cherry blossoms, the brave blossoms, the rugby team.
Ah, okay, yeah. Yeah. Rugby knowledge came in handy there. So 5-2, going into question 8. This, when I wrote this, I hadn't thought about point scoring, but maybe I'll make this interesting.
Oh, for goodness sake, no.
let's toss a coin and see if we want to make it interesting.
Oh, yeah, let's make it interesting. Okay. So the question is, what are the names of the 6 playable suspects in Cluedo?
Audacity!
And
they are never going to go!
Hang on. Wait, how are we doing this point scoring?
I'll give you 1 point for every 2 characters you name. So there's 3 points available here.
Okay, shall I go?
Yeah.
Professor Plum.
Yep.
Reverend Green.
Uh-huh.
Colonel Mustard.
Yep.
Miss White.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Miss Scarlet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another woman who wears blue, isn't there?
Okay, I'm going to have to hand over to Alex, I think. Unless you can get it.
Do I get any points for that?
You do. You do, but I'm just... Okay.
Oh, I got it. Miss Peacock.
All right. Okay. I'm going to give you two points. 2 points for that.
Okay.
Because you got all the all the surnames right, but you got two of the titles wrong. So, Alex, you've got a chance to gain a point here.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh shit! Well.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know what ones he got wrong.
I think I've got it now.
Can I hear the ones that are right in this?
But no.
But he's already Martin's already got 2 points, so like I can't win.
But then you'll just change.
Anyway.
You'll change like.
Yeah, you just change. That's too easy.
Change Mister.
You don't have to know anything for that. Yeah.
So I think, well, I think it is something like that, maybe. I think maybe Mrs. White.
Uh-huh.
And what was the other one you said? Mrs. Peacock. I don't know.
It is those two. Yeah. Martin did correct himself, Mrs. Peacock, at the end, but he said Miss Peacock first time and Miss White, yeah. And it is Mrs. White. Although Mrs. White has been replaced in the modern version by Dr. Orchid, but I wouldn't penalise you for that.
I should have taken my time a bit more on that.
So, yeah. Alex got a point. Martin got 2 points, which puts Martin, I think, 6-4. Yep.
Sounds right.
And two questions to go. So there's still a chance.
Oh, my God.
Still a chance.
I can't believe you have multi-point questions.
There was a chance before, though, wasn't there?
There was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, question number 9. What is the largest internal organ in the human body?
In my buzzer ready.
Alex?
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, I've got two ideas.
Okay.
I don't know if they count as two, though, or if they're even an organ. I'll go for it. The liver?
Oh, no, it's the liver.
It is the liver, yeah.
Damn it! I didn't even have it up on the screen.
Oh, okay, so glad I guessed that. Well done on the buzzer.
Can we flip a coin?
I was thinking maybe it was the intestines because you stretch them out.
Yeah, because there's that thing about it's like 23 miles long or something if you stretch them out. I can't remember what it is. But no, it is the liver. So that's 7-4 to Alex. Question number 10, though. Martin, this is a question for you. How many of the 5 Daniel Craig Bond films share their titles with an original story by Ian Fleming? How many of the 5 Daniel Craig Bond films share their titles with an original story by Ian Fleming?
Oops. How many of the 5? I'm thinking 2.
Yeah, it is 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Do you know which one? Can you tell us which ones?
It's, of course, Casino Royale.
Yep.
And
you guessed too.
I was thinking
what's the most recent one?
Spectre.
The new one that's not yet come out is Spectre was the last one.
Spectre.
The next one is No Time to Die.
And that's not Quantum Solace, I don't think was.
It was Quantum Solace.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Skyfall was the other one. Which
Skyfall, yeah. I was thinking Sky might be in Skyfall, but
so yeah.
Quantum Solace. Yeah.
So I think that makes a final score of 7-5 to Alex.
Good game.
Well played, sirs. That was good. Good performances from both of you. I think both of you would have got every question, which is amazing. Do you want to do the best?
I'm coming for that cup, Martin. I'm coming for that chance. I mean,
very good.
Don't technically get too attached.
I think that would put you at the top of the quiz, though, wouldn't it, Alex? Because even though we're tied for the number of wins, you probably scored more points in that match.
Yeah, we're not counting that, though. It's not.
No, it's not, luckily.
We'll flip a coin. Oh, look, it's me. I won. What are the odds?
Do you want to do the bonus question?
Yeah.
This is probably a bad one to end on, but never mind. How many letters are there in the word supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
You dick. Did you say how many letters?
How many letters?
Why did you do this?
I think it was Alex, yeah.
I'm going to guess that is 37.
Okay, Martin?
Well, I think you're fairly close. Maybe a couple less, 34.
It's 34.
Oh, wow.
It's actually 34. Nice.
Cool.
Nicely done, yeah. So, Alex is the victor. That means...
Well done. Ooh, very good.
He's on his way, his ascendancy. Mm-hmm, but Martin's got the trophy to enjoy.
Close.
I'm going to quickly burn the trophy. If I could have it, no one can.
Close though, in the end, that was 7-6 with a bonus point included.
Oh, yeah.
With the bonus, so, yeah.
Thank you, gents, for making that quiz wonderful. And thank you all for listening at home or for watching us. And please do keep your comments in with your predictions for 2021. And we wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone. Or Happy Holidays, whatever you're celebrating.
Happy New Year. We'll probably take a break over Christmas, but we'll see you afterwards for 2021 itself.
Definitely.
See you then.
See you later.
Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.